And we're holding on Lamed Hey Omer Aleph, the second line. We learned from the Mishnah that one that we said an Amana is not, can't collect her Ksuba from Nichsi Yisoyim without a Shavua. But then the Mishnah said Nimnu Milashvia, they were holding back from making her swear. And the reason is there's going to be based on the story that we're going to learn now. And therefore, another one of those takonas from Pei Tikkun HaOlam was Rav Gamliel Zaken made a takona instead that she should make a neder. We will see soon how that helps, but, then she can make a neder to say, for example, we learned yesterday, Rashi said, she could say, for example, that such and such, that various kinds of mizonis, various kinds of food will be also to me if I ever collected previously anything for my ksuba, and then that way she'll know to be careful. If she did in fact previously collect for her ksuba, then she'll have to fulfill that neder. But even if not, then as we're going to see soon, it's not quite as bad. So the Gemara says, my timer. Why didn't they want to beswear her such that Rav Gamliel Azarkin had to make the sakana? Ilema Meshum de Rav Kahana. Are you going to say it's based on the story that Rav Kahana told? The Omer of Kahana, Va'amilo Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. Rav Kahana says, or some say that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ma'ase ba'odem echad b'shnei batzoros. It happened with a certain person in years of drought. So as the prices were high and food was scarce, shehifked dinner zahav etzal amana. He gave for safekeeping. He gave a gold dinner to a certain widow to watch for him. V'nichatu b'kad shel kemach. She put it in the jar of flour, and then later on, not realizing, she ended up baking it into a loaf of bread, and she gave that bread to a poor person. Eventually, the owner of the dinner, the mafkid, came back, and he says, give me my dinner. So she says to him, a strong lashon, she says, Yehona Samha Mavas Be'echon Mimanea Shal Oysa Isha. So she wants to say something. She can't find it right now, but she may think that he stole it. Now, to be sure, actually, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that tells us that if a shomer says, I don't know where I put your object, that's considered pshia, and he's going to be liable to pay. So she knows she's going to be liable to pay then, but at least she wants to demonstrate to him that she didn't steal it. So she says a very strong expression. Yehona sama mavas be'achem b'maneh shal oisa isha, may sama mavas, may poison, be effective against one of that woman's sons, meaning speaking of herself, if I had any hana from your dinner. So in effect, in other words, she's saying, I agree, if I can't find the dinner, I'm going to have to pay, but I don't want you to think, I don't want you to suspect me that I stole it, so therefore I'm making this a strong shvua. Omru, so the Chacham said, the continuation of the story, Loi ho yo yamim mu'atim, not very long past, ad shemes echad mevaneh, sure enough, one of her sons died. And the fact is, she had, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, she had had a tiny little bit of hana from the coin, in that she saved the amount, as the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines, she had hana from the amount of flour that she saved, that where the space inside the bread where the coin went, usually a little flour would have gone there instead. In fact, Ben Yoyada says that's why the Gemara stresses at the beginning of the story that this took place in years of hunger. Because in that case, at a time like that, normally under normal circumstances, that tiny little amount that she gained of a fraction of an ounce of flour that she saved normally wouldn't count for anything, but in Shnei Batzoros, in years of famine, then yes, such a thing is considered a more significant hanah. Anyway, when the Chachamim heard what had happened, Omru, they said, look at you, can make a Kal V'chomer and see how severe a false shavua is. Ma misha nishba be'emes kach, ma doch somebody who swears truthfully, in the sense that she thought she was swearing truthfully, the Gemara is going to point out soon, but somebody who swore truthfully is punished so severely, hanishba al sheker, somebody who swears falsely, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so how severely they're going to be punished. And particularly, I mean, in this case, she actually said a loshen that one of her sons should die, but Bechlal, Marsha points out, the Gemara elsewhere says because of the Avera of swearing falsely, a person's young children can die, Bechlal. So here, all the more so because she said it herself. But anyway, the point is, the Chacham said, look at that. She swore truthfully, and yet this happened. So the Gemara asks, well, let's analyze the story, first of all, before we see whether that story is relevant to the din in our Mishnah. So my time at Yansha. So why was she punished? And the reason is because we said Dishtar Shilom Makom Dinner. She gained by the space where the dinner was in the coin. She would have otherwise had to use a little extra flour over there. And again, as Ben Yehoyada says, during a time of famine in particular, that extra little bit of flour makes a big difference. So she said, if I had any hana from your dinner, and the fact is she did have a little bit of hana from his dinner. And when she said, when the Chachamim said, somebody which swore truthfully, what do you mean? The fact is it wasn't truthful based on what we said. Okay, you're right. The Gemara says, Kim Misha Nishba Be'emes. It means like somebody who swore truthfully, because after all, she didn't intend to swear falsely. She was a shogeg. So anyway, you're going to say on the basis of this story is why in the future the Chum were concerned there might be something similar with the Almana trying to collect her ksuba, and therefore the Bata Dinim were reluctant to have her swear. Tosfos, by the way, points out that there are other Gemaras including we discussed in Nedarim as well, that where a person makes a neder sincerely thinking that what they're saying is true, then that's not called a shvuas shav or shvuas sheker, because even though the fact is it turns out not to be, but they genuinely believe that it's so. So if so, then why are we calling her over here that she swore falsely? And so Tosfos says it's true. On the other hand, here she was a shomer. She had a pikadon by her, and therefore she should have been extra careful. She should have considered it might end up coming to a shvua, and therefore that she has to be careful to know at all times where the coin is, so that in case it comes to a shvua, then she'll be able to swear truthfully. So therefore, in that case, she's held a little more responsible than it usually would be for Shvuah Shav. Anyway, so you're going to say that because of that story is why the Bata Dinim didn't want to make her swear. Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, has a long and very interesting explanation of the Kabbalah of the deeper dynamics of what went on over here. He points out, you have a story, so we're talking about over here in Almana, we have a jar of flour, we have her giving the bread to a poor person, and we have one of her sons dying. And you also have a shvua in Hashem. And Reb Levi Yitzchak points out, you have all those elements in a story in Nach, the story of the Isha Sophasis, where also at one point, when Eliyahu Hanavi is hiding out from Ahav, Hashem tells him to go to a place called Sarfas, and there'll be a widow over there who's gonna feed him and who's gonna give him food. So he goes over there, Kitzer, he finds her, she says, I'm almost out of food for myself, how can I give you any? And he tells you, you give me some, and Hashem will give a bracha in your jar of flour, that the flour will never be used up until the famine is over and rain starts falling again. And sure enough, that's what happened. And then not long after that, her son became very sick and passed away, and she's pleading with Eliyahu she's saying, look at this, you came over here, you made me look like a Rashas compared to you at Tzaddik, I look like a Rashas, and so Eliyahu goes and davens on behalf of the child to Hashem, and Hashem revives him. So now Reb Levi points out there's a connection between these two stories. You see a number of elements the same between the two stories, and he points out some deeper points as well. Among other things, he points out that he or she uses the expression Yehone Sam Hamaves over there, where Chazal tell us the boy who died and then was revived grew up to be the Navi Yoina. So it's almost the same letters, but with a difference of a vav for a hey. And he explains how that has to do with life versus death. Anyway, he goes on to explain a whole connection over here also a bit with the various days in Tishrei and what gets accomplished as far as bringing down Ashva into the world. He says over here, so he explains over here that the gold dinner over here represents dinim, and this person was masked by her, so she's trying to moderate the dinim, and so she tries to do that So he seems to understand that she did it a little more deliberately for doing these things, or maybe it just means subconsciously, whatever. Anyway, she puts it in a jar of flowers, one type of way where he explains that should moderate the harshness of the dinim represented by the gold dinner. She bakes it into bread as a second stage. She gives it to a poor person, which is tzedakah, as a third one. And still, with all of that, you have over here that this is what happened. And he explains the whole dynamics of it. One point is also, Mephoshim point out, she says, Yehona Sama Mavis, that poison should be effective against her child if she actually had any hana from this coin. Maharam Shif points out, in effect, what she's saying is, even though Tzedakah Tatzol Mimavis, nevertheless, I want to swear that in order that you shouldn't suspect me of taking the coin, that even the schus of the tzedakah, that I gave that bread to a poor person, shouldn't help in this case. And in fact, it didn't, because there was a false shvuah. Anyway, the point is that you would say that therefore, because of the severity of a shvuah and the possibility that a person might take a shvuah and not realize that there was something over there that made the situation different, and therefore she might be punished, and therefore the Chachamim said that, therefore the Bati Dinim were reluctant to make the Almana swear, and therefore we're saying that Rav Gamliel Azarkin had to make a Sakana. The problem with that is imishumha, if that's the reason, my Irya Almana, then why is the Mishnah mentioning only a widow that instead of swearing Rav Gamliel Azarkin had to make a takana about a neder for her? After the Gurusha Nami. By that logic, the same thing should apply if the woman was divorced. She also needs to collect a ksuba. So if the point is that the severity of a false shvua, as in this story, then the same thing should apply to a Gurusha. So why does Rav Zera tell us in the name of Shmuel that the whole din of our Mishnah applies only to an Almana? But a divorcee, there's no problem. Beis Din will in fact beswear her, and then she'll collect her ksuba, because again she's collecting from Nichsi Yisraelim. So the answer is Almana Shaini. The difference is, it is in fact because of the severity of a false shvur. But the difference is, with an almana, there's a reason why we want to be, why they wanted to be more careful. Because with the hana that she works on behalf of the yisurim, we learned back in Ksubas that after her husband dies, she's entitled to continue living in his house, using his furniture and the various other accessories of the house, use the avodim, and so on and so forth. And we said there are various things that she does for the yisurim around the house. She still spins and brings in some money. She still does many of the household tasks. We said there's a few of them she doesn't, because those are supposed to be special, affectionate things between her and her husband, so she doesn't do them for the Yisraelim. But other than that, she is doing work around the house for them. So because of that, Astula Uruya Hetera, she may come to be murder heter. She may come to rationalize to herself, so what? What's the big deal if I already actually collected part or even all of my ksuba? They owe me for all the work I've been doing for them, and therefore I should be able to collect my full ksuba. So to avoid that is, so then she might end up swearing by that rationalization that she didn't receive any of her ksuba, and then there's going to be, as we just had in this story, the severity of a false shvua. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't, therefore the Bate Dinim didn't want to beswear her, and therefore instead, so Tosfos points out, a neder at least, now we said in the Mishnah, Gamliel Azarkin's Sakana, was that from now on she's going to make a neder instead, and then based on that, then she'll go ahead. Once she'll make the neder, let's say, to use the expression that Rashi said, she'll say that mine mezonos, various types of nourishing food, will be also to her if she collected the money. So fine, at least then, even if she does end up rationalizing to herself, and in fact she did collect some of her ksuba already, either then she'll be careful not to be over on that neder. And even if not, Tosfos says the fact is the punishment for a neder that a person breaks is not quite as severe as the punishment for a false shvuah. There are Mephoshim, by the way, who point out over here, the Gemara is going to mention soon, about various kinds of shvuahs. in the story with the salmona and the dinner that we just said, the fact is we don't have in the Gemara that she ever used Hashem's name, and the severity of a shrua is primarily when it uses Hashem's name or when there's nikitas chefetz, when you're holding a holy object like tefillin or a sefer Torah or what have you. So there are mafarshim, in fact, we say that the Gemara does mean before when she said Yohanes Samamavis, she did in fact use Hashem's name in her shrua. The Gemara just didn't bother quoting that particular part. Anyway, this point, though, would only apply to an almana. It would only apply to an almana because she's living together with the Yerushim, and therefore she might rationalize to herself like this that I'm entitled, as opposed to a grusha. She's not living with them anyway, so therefore there's not going to be any of this rationalization, so there's less of an issue with that. So the Gemara goes on. Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Yirmi of Ahava, Rabu Shmuel de Amitavayu. Now, Rab and Shmuel both say, when we're saying in the Mishnah, again, so let's recap. We said in the Mishnah that the original idea was supposed to be that an almana is going to swear before she collects her ksuva, because she's collecting from Nichsi Yisoyim, and therefore she needs a shura. But we said the problem was that the Bate Dinim were reluctant to make her swear because of the story that we just had involving the gold dinner where there was an inadvertent false shvura and the consequences were very severe. So now there was a problem, she can't collect at all. So then Rami Elazar makes a sakana that instead she should make a neder. Where again, a neder, the problem of a false neder, of a violating a neder, is that the consequences are much less severe than a false shvura. In fact, nowadays, in their times already, they made a takana that when a woman is going to collect her ksuba, instead of swearing, and instead of doing the method with the neder that Rav Gamliel Zalkin said, instead what they do is that the person accepts on themselves a chayr. So she says that if I ever collected previously any of my ksuba, then I should be subject to a chayr. So again, that's not as serious, and therefore again, you know, for her herself to say a shvua, which is false, would be much more severe for her herself, for Beis Din to tell her if what you're saying is not true, then there should be a chayram on you. And she says amen. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that yesh omrim, that the Tosfos, besides for Tosfos, a number of other Rishonim all bring this, that it's not as severe, and therefore that's another alternate way that they can do in order for her to collect. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Yirmi Ba'aba, Rabu Shmuel de Amitavayu, lo shanu elav beis din. This that we're saying that they shouldn't be swear her because of this concern of a shvua shrug only applies if the shvua is being done in beis din, which is a much more severe shvua. Because inside beis din itself, they make her swear holding a sefer Torah and they use Hashem's name. Not necessarily do they use Hashem's name, but they do nekidas chefetz. They do where she's holding a sefer Torah or something like that. So that would be a much more severe thing. Aba chutz v'based in mashvien oisa. Rav Yirmi Ba'ama says, Rav and Shmuel both say that they could beswear her outside Beis Din. Because outside Beis Din, they don't use Nikita Shevet. They're just doing, and if she's not holding a Sefer Torah or Tefillin, yes, in Beis Din itself, also they use Hashem's name, or they use a kinui of one of the nicknames of Hashem. Outside the Beis Din, what they say is something like Orra, she says. They say she should be cursed if what she's saying is not true, but they don't use nekudas chefetz, and therefore it's not as serious. Tosfos discusses over here that actually here Rashi is saying that the difference is whether she's doing nekudas chefetz or not. Tosfos points out that there's also a difference between there's other differences. There's a difference in general anyway between a shvua d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. And therefore, here we're talking about when they do it outside Beis Din, then it's considered more of a shvua d'rabbanan. So therefore, it's not as serious. So therefore, they could do that instead. So Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" Rav lo magdi ksuva la'amalta. Don't we find that Rav wouldn't allow an almana to collect her ksuva? because he was concerned that day, he was concerned that her husband may have left something for her before. Tosfos elsewhere explains he was concerned Sruri Atvasa, he may have given her a bundle of money ahead of time or something, and therefore now she's gonna swear falsely. And apparently now the point is that now Rav could have easily had her swear outside Beis Din, and yet he's not. Doesn't that show therefore that Rav doesn't hold of that concept? And the Gemara says, Kasha. You're right. It's a Kasha. Then why that is? Why indeed would Rav just say that she can't collect, that she can't swear even outside Beis Din? And he was saying that Rav wouldn't do it. So then it's true. It's a question on Rav. Okay, Maram Shif actually says that, a shvua outside Beis Din, he says, is equal to a neder. So when Rabbi Gamliel Azokin made his takana to make her take a neder, then having her take a shvua outside Beis Din would be on an equal level to that. But the question is that we're saying that Rav himself wouldn't even do that. He wouldn't even say, let her swear outside Beis Din. So why not, Kasha? So the question is, the Surah Masnu Hafi. Now in Surah, they said, they learned it the way we just said, that we had the statement that Rav says that you could swear her outside Beis Din, and the question is, we find that Rav himself would not do that, and he wouldn't allow her to collect. So, Nahudah, Masnu Hafi. In Nahudah, instead, they had the version of the discussion went like this. It started, Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Loy Shonu Eloba Beis Din. Nahudah was Shmuel's yeshiva, so the pashtus, they learned the discussion, the beginning of the discussion in his name. So they said that it's only Shmuel said, Loy Shonu Eloba Beis Din, that the difference is only in Beis Din, they can't beswear her for the reason we said before. Abu Chutz the Beis Din, Mashbi Anosa, but outside Beis Din, Shmuel says they could beswear her, because again, that's not a serious Shmuel. It's not been a kid of Schaifetz, and it's basically considered a Shmuel de Rabbanon. Whereas according to the version in the Haudah, Rav clearly said, not like the Yumi Ba'aba's version, that Rav agreed that you could do it outside Beis Din. No, in the Haudah version, Rav says also, you can't be swear her outside Beis Din either, because even outside Beis Din is a more serious shura. And Rav the Tainei, so Rav is going according to his shita, the Rav like Magdik Suva Almalta, because Rav would not allow an Almana to collect her Suva from Nichsi Yisaimim, because that would require a Shvua, and whether in or out of Beis Din, Rav doesn't want to do that. Well, the question is for the Adra. Well, in that case, then let him make her take a neder, like we said, from Gamil Arzok and Sakana in Or Mishnah, the Ligbiye, and then he should be able to have her collect. And the answer is that wouldn't have worked. The Shnei de Rav Kili Nidrin. Because in Rav's times, people had gotten careless with Nedarim. People would make a neder, and then they'd be over on it anyway. So you can't rely on that to be able to use that. And in Gamliel Azokin's time, people were careful with Nedarim as well. Therefore, that method would work. But in Rav's times, already it didn't. Later on, by the way, you find in the times of the Gaonim, it's brought that in the yeshivas of the Gaonim, one of the Gaonim writes in a tshuva that they no longer learn Masechta Nedarim in the yeshivas at all. He said that, I think also Shavuos, so I don't remember that for sure, but definitely in the Nedarim, because in the Nedarim, we learned it already, you have all kinds of loopholes in it, you make a neder and the neder is not chal, or there are various ways of getting out of it, etc. And they didn't want people, as it is, people were careless with the Nedarim, even back in Rav's times, and more so in the times of the Goyim, and they didn't want people realizing all these various loopholes that you have in a neder. So they actually stopped learning them, and for that matter, when the minhag of saying Kol Nidre first came in, and many of the Goyim were very opposed to it for that reason as well, because people are going to get careless with Nedarim then. But this is why, by the way, when we learned the Sefer Nedarim, we had a bit of a struggle with it. The Lashon was a little bit different, and we didn't have regular Rashi on it and so forth. It all goes back, among other things, to this fact that it wasn't as widely studied in the yeshivas in Bava. So in the Nahadar version, then Rav is being very consistent by saying, therefore, that she can't swear and she can't even make a neder to collect, and not even outside Beis Din, because as far as he's concerned, that's the same thing. So in other words, and again, the Rambam Mefarshim will point out, among others, Tosfos Rid points out over here that it's one thing, according to Shmuel, they do it outside there, they do it outside Beis Din. Like Rashi says, it's only Orur. They don't necessarily use Hashem's name, but in Beis Din, they would use Hashem's name in the story with the widow and the dinner before it didn't actually say in the Gemara in so many words that she used Hashem's name, but that seems to be the implication that she did, and therefore the Bata Dinim were concerned that they didn't want to do that kind of thing. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case in this connection. There was a woman who came, an Amona, who came to Rav Huna to collect Uksuba, Omala, and he says, what can I do for you? I can't allow you to collect. The Rav like Magvi Ksuba La Malta. Rav will not allow an Amona to collect Uksuba, because again, he won't allow her to swear in Beis Din because of the concern that we said before that Mura Heter La Atzma, that she's Osiva Uruya Hetera, that she's going to rationalize, you might rationalize to yourself that you're still entitled to your full Ksuba because of the work you do on behalf of the Yisraelim. And so therefore he doesn't want to beswear you in Beis Din. Outside Beis Din also, Rav holds that you can't do it. A neder is not going to work because people are careless nowadays with nedarim. So what do you want me to do for you? Omrale, so she says to him, midi hu taima ela dirman nekitni midi muksubasi. What are you telling me? The reason why I can't collect, why I can't swear, is in case maybe previously I collected something from Maksuba. Hai Hashem tzvokas im nenesi muksubasi klum. As Hashem tzvokas lives, if I've benefited anything from my ksuba, meaning in other words, in this case, Rav Huna didn't want to beswear her, but she went ahead and swore on her own. And the expression imna nasi, by the way, is really only half the lashon, but you have this kind of thing many times in Tanakh as well. Actually, you had, for example, in last week's parasha, Hashem himself uses this expression imloi kasher di bauti ba'oznai. The unspoken part of the Shavua is that, for example, in this case, you're saying, Chai Hashem Tzvokas, Hashem lives, that if I have not done such and such, meaning, in other words, and the converse would be, and if I have, then Chas V'Shalom, you would say that it's not Chai Hashem Tzvokas, but the second half of it is usually not expressed. But that's a Lashon of a Shavua. Anyway, so Omer Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, fine, in that case, Moda Rav B'Kaifetzis. Rav will agree where she goes ahead and swears on her own. Well, then, okay, Rav is not going to want her to swear because of the concerns, but if she did it on her own, then look, it's a done deal. Obviously, she knows the severity of a false shvuah, and we can assume, therefore, that she didn't act, therefore, we can take her at her word that she didn't actually collect, and therefore, we can allow her to collect Uksuba. At this point, in other words, basically, if there is going to be a problem, it's on her. There's nothing more we can do at this point because she already swore. The Rashba and the Ritva say actually the fact is it does have to be she might still have to swear. When Rav says she can collect, she still would have to swear again on the das of Beis Din. But just we're saying, and at this point, having already made a shavua, then fine, we're not gonna dismiss her claim altogether. Okay. Another case. Hahi dasori lekamed de Rabba bar Rav Huna. Now in the next generation, a woman came to Rabba bar Rav Huna to collect Uksuba. Omala my evidlach. And again, he says, what do you want me to do for you? The Rav le magbik subalar malta. Rav would not allow an Amona to swear or take a neder and collect Uksuba. But Abba Mori le magbik subalar malta. And my father, my Rebbe, Rav Huna, would also not, except in that one case of Kefetzes. So she says, fine, in that case, have the mizoni. Fine, you don't want to give me my ksuba, I understand, but at least then give me mizonis after all. Until I collect my ksuba, I'm entitled to mizonis, I'm entitled to support out of the nechosim that the Yisraelim inherited. Omala, he tells her, can't, mizoni nami leslech. You don't get mizonis either. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, because we find that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, and we learned this in Ksubas, Haktevas Ksubasa, once a woman demands to collect her Ksuba, Haktevas Ksubasa Bebeistin, Ema Mazonis, she no longer gets Mazonis at that point, because the purpose of Mazonis is because of the covet of the husband, that it shouldn't be that his amon has to go out begging or something. Once she's saying, I want my ksuba, that amounts to saying, well, now why does she want her ksuba? At the top of the omer, we learned yesterday, that it's mishum chachina, that she wants to have some financial resources to be able to get married. So therefore, at this point, then she loses mizonis, because now it's not a matter of the covet of the husband for her to be supported anymore. So you just pay her off uksuba, and that's that. But the point is, Rabbi Bar Avunah is telling her, based on what Shmuel was saying, once you come to Beis Din to demand your ksuba, then you forfeit their mizonis. Omrolei, so she says to him, a lashon of a klala, she says, apchul kursei, turn over his chair. Today, obviously, what are you passing to me, like two different things? You're combining together Rav's chumra that I can't collect my ksuba and Shmuel's chumra that I shouldn't be able to, get mizonis either. So Rashi says two explanations that it means that, it means that he should become sick. Well, Rashi doesn't actually say in so many words, but the first implication is that she's cursing him, and the Gemara is going to go on to say that he was sick for a while after that. So evidently that would be. The other explanation Rashi says is that it means that she was saying he should be lowered from his high position. So whatever the case, that's what she said. So now when Rabbi Bar Avunah's Talmidim heard that she had said that, so they actually literally overturned this chair and then set it back upright. They figured this way, she had set a klala, and after all, it's true that the Habona on Ein Yaakov points out, actually, there is a concept, there's a pasuk that says that kil aschinam lo sabay, a curse for nothing, an undeserved curse, will not be fulfilled. But the fact is, there is a certain validity to what she's saying, after all, because she has a certain point. Why is he judging her so strictly like that, using both Rav's and Shmuel's dinim, where again, if it had been only a coin to Rav, then she couldn't collect her ksuba, but at least she could collect her mizonis. If it had been only like Shmuel, she'd be able to collect her ksuba altogether, because they could have her swear outside Beis Din, and instead he's being machmer on her in a double way. So they felt there is a certain justification for her cursing him. Fine, if she used the expression, his chair should be turned over, meaning that he should lose his high position, then fine, they're going to fulfill the curse literally by actually turning over his chair and setting it upright. Nevertheless, Rabbi Bar Avunah was not saved from sickness. At some point later on, he became sick as a result of this whole story. So her klala did have a certain effect on him, even though his talmidim tried to mitigate it by having the klala take place in a literal sense. So another case involving such a thing or a general ruling of what to do in such cases. Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Yirmi Yabeira, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Yirmi Yabeira, Adrab, who is, I guess, one of his Talmidim, we actually had yesterday or 2 days ago, we had where Rav Yehuda had to force the son-in-law of the same Rav Yehuda Beira to give a get to his wife. But here we have that Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yirmi Yabeira himself is a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so he tells him, Adra the Beis Din, what you should do is make her take a neder in Beis Din, like Rabbi Gamliel Zaken said, but Ashba chutz the Beis Din, also have her take a shvua outside of Beis Din, because we said before that's less severe, and Shmuel holds that that's fine, you can do that. The lacy call of lipo the udnai, and make sure that's done loudly enough he's saying, make it heard in my ears. I want it to be known in the city that the almana was paid huksuba, de ba'ina ki heche de eved b'maisa. I want to do in practice like my Rebbe Shmuel and show that in fact a woman in the case like this can collect huksuba. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in other words, I want it to be publicly known that I want to hear that it was in fact accomplished, and I want it to be publicly known. I want everyone to know that I am in fact paskening like Shmuel in this regard and not like Rav. Mind you, Rabbi Yehuda also learned by Rav, but nevertheless, he learned more by Shmuel after that, and therefore he's saying, I want to show halacha l'maaseh that we go like Shmuel. So in fact, the Rishonim do in fact pasken like that, and say that she could in fact swear outside Beis Din, because again, it's not as severe as inside Beis Din. And then you have what Tosfos is saying, that nowadays we don't necessarily swear anyway. We have her accept the cheder on herself. And that's that. So either we have her take a neder, or so that's how it's summarized in Shulchan Aruch. Either they make her swear outside Beis Din, or they could also, they could also, have her take a neder, or again, yeshomrim that nowadays that we do a chayrim, then that would work as well. Gufa. So now let's analyze what we said before. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Zera, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Almana. So we said earlier in the Sugya, we pointed out that this whole discussion about whether to have or take a Shavua or not take a Shavua and so forth only applies to an Almana. Ava Grusha Mashviya Noisa, but when it comes to a divorcee, no problem. Even though later on her husband died, she's not working for the Yisraelim because she's not living in the house with them or whatever. So therefore, there's none of this rationalization, none of this Oruya Osuva, Oruya Hatera, that she's going to rationalize to herself that I deserve something extra, and therefore we can have her swear in the regular way. So the Gemara asks, Grusha de Adra Loi? So you're telling me then that we don't make a Grusha take a neder? Didn't they send a message from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, about a case like that? There was a case of a couple that was from Bavel. They moved to Eretz Yisrael. There he divorced her, and now she wants to collect Uksuva. So he has Nechosin back in Bavel that she wants to be able to collect from. So they wrote from Eretz Yisrael. They wrote a letter describing what took place in the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael and saying saying what we should do about her collecting from the Nechosin. So they wrote, Eich Plonissa Bas Ploni Kabilas Gita. They wrote, this is a record of how Eich means how. So this is a record. This kind of thing is called a Maisa Beis Din. This kind of thing is a legal record of what took place in Beis Din. It's not the get itself. It's rather, it's more of a description of what happened in Beis Din, and then the Dayanim sign it. So it said, Eich Plonissa Bas Ploni Kabilas Gita, how it was that Plonis Bas Ploni received her get, Mini Yadod Acha Bahidya, from the hand of Acha Bahidya, which was her husband, Demiskiri Ayamori, who was also known as Ayamori, as we discussed yesterday in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, in the get itself. You write the husband's name and the wife's names as well as any other alternate names they're known by. We said actually the Bahag says that you just write the words V'chol Shum De'isla, V'chol Shum V'chamicha De'isla, but Tosfos disagreed with that. Anyway, here this is not the actual get. This is only a memorandum from Beis Din of what actually happened, but here they actually wrote out the Pashtus because in Bavel, he was better known as Ayamori, they want it to be clear that she's able to collect his property there. Anyway, the nodras, so she took a neder in Beis Din, for us, so we see, in other words, that an almana is made to, a grusha is also made to take a neder. She made fruit in the world also to her. If the following is not true, Tosfos, by the way, brings a girsa that it was called Peiros Shabbat, that it wasn't just that she said Peiros, she said all Peiros. But Tosfos says that now it is true. Tosfos says, unlike Shavuos, a neder is able to be chal on something that you can't do. It's impossible, of course, to assur all Peiros on yourself because inevitably at some point a person has to eat Peiros. If nothing else, Peiros includes not only fruit, it also includes produce, so of all kinds, as in wheat and barley and whatever. And inevitably a person has to eat that. Nevertheless, Tosfos says that still. You could distinguish between when the person made the neder to begin with versus what happens afterwards. But over here the fact is we need some kind of neder that she's going to realize she needs to take seriously. And if it was called Peiros Shabbat Olam, then she may not treat it that seriously because she's going to say, look, you know, I may as well I can't fulfill that properly anyhow. Anyway, so therefore, so the girsa is, as we have it, the Ostras Peiros Shabbat Olam Allah. She said that Peiros of a certain time, let's say, of in the world are also to her. Deloy Kabilas Luxubasa, that she did not receive towards Luxuba, Ella, only the following things she received. Glufgura Echad, one Glufgura, which is some kind of, Rashi over here translates it as a coat. In other places, it actually translates similarly. So it's a coat, and there's some places where Mephoshim explained that it means more like a quilted jacket with a layer of insulation between inside it or whatever. Anyway, that's a glufgra. The Sefer Tilim Echad, a book of Tilim. the Sefer Iyov and a book of Iyov, Umim Sholos, and a Sefer of Mishle, all of those bluim, all of those, the Tillim and Iyov and Mishle are worn out, showing, I guess, that people had actually been learning from them. Anyway, the Beis Din and Eretz Yisrael continues in their letter. V'shamnu b'chamisha mona, we evaluated the value of all those five things that she said she already received at 5 mona, which is 500 zuz. So that amount she's already been paid from Oksuba. When she comes to you, when she comes to Bava and wants to collect the rest, then allow her to collect the rest. So you'll see what she'll bring in Oksuba. That Oksuba payment is supposed to be X amount. Deduct from it that 5 mana and then have her collect the rest. The point is that we see that we do make even a grusha take a neder like that. The answer is Amar Rav Ashi, Yahu get your vomit. The answer is there. Rav Ashi says that was a special case. That wasn't a regular grusha. That was in fact an almana, but there was a get your vomit involved. Meaning Rashi explains, we learned back in Yavamas that you can have a case even where the Yavam is supposed to do either Yibum or Chalitza, but there can be a case where the Yavam instead gives her a get, where the Yavam gives her a get, and that passes her to do Yibum anymore. Now, at this point, she needs Chalitza. So now she wants to collect. So, in other words, what happened was, the scenario is not like we said before, that she and her husband had moved to Eretz Yisrael and then he divorced her. The scenario would be rather that her husband had passed away and now her brother-in-law, her husband's brother in Eretz Yisrael had given her a get, which now makes her possible for Yibum, but she still needs Chalitza, and now she wants to collect the Ksuba from her first husband's Nechasim. So therefore, so in that case, she really is an almana, and she needs to make a neder, like we said before. But if she had just been a plain grusha, if she had been a plain grusha, then it wouldn't have been an issue, and they could have had her, and they could have had, they wouldn't have needed her to take a neder at all. They could have had her take the regular shvur that you take when you want to collect from your son. Marsha, by the way, points out a point to that. Now, we said before, the only reason to distinguish between an almana and a grusha is because moda heter la'atzma. In this case, she's not living with the yisoymin. So what kind of moda heter would there be anyway? And the answer is, Marsha says, okay, once the chachamim made the rule that an almana should not collect without a shvua because of the reason we said before, then they said across the board that applies to an almana even in a unique case like this, which is not only an almana, but also a grusha from the brother. But when she's exclusively a grusha, then there's no reason to make that takana. Anyway, that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a different explanation of the scenario that happened over here, because after all, Tosfos says, who cares whether there was a get or not? The fact is, she can't collect her ksuba till she does chalitza. What is the fact? Whether her brother-in-law gave her a get or not, what does that make a difference? So rather, Tosfos explains the scenario differently. Her Yavam did Yibum with her, but then later on, he divorced her. So now what happens is, again, she asked her when she's going to collect her Ksuba. We learned back in Yavamas and in Ksubas that a Yavama does not necessarily get a new Ksuba because it's still basically a continuation of her previous marriage, and therefore the Ksuba eventually gets collected from the property of her first husband. So in that case over here, again, she is Murda Heter because, after all, she figures, I worked for his brother back when I was doing the time when he did Yibum, when I was married to him. I worked on his behalf. Around, I did housework for him, and therefore I should be entitled to collect more rather than him inheriting all the rest of it, and therefore we have to make her take a neder to avoid that issue. So according to Tosfos, that answers Marsha's question, because it's not a matter of her being, it's not a matter of the assignment, it's a matter of the brother, that she was married to him for a period of time and did housework and other things for him, and now she's going to be murdered ahead to lot. Okay. The Mishnah continued. Hiskin Ram Gamliel Azokin Shay Nederis Fuller, that Ram Gamliel Azokin made a takana eventually because of this concern about what we do as far as a shvua. So he made a takana that instead she takes a neder and then she can collect her ksuba. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shonu El B'Shalay Nisus. Now that would only apply if she had not already remarried. Avol Nisus Ein Madir Noisa, but if she already remarried, then you have a problem with that solution. You can't make her take a neder. Because when I ask, why not? Nisus Maitaima. So why are you, why are you telling us you can't have her take a neder in that case? You're going to say to Mefer Labal, because as we learned in Nedarim, a husband is able to cancel. So now, in other words, so rather, the Rambam Paskins, that what it would mean is that, that she would have to swear in that case. In that case, we have no choice. If she wants to collect her ksuba, she is going to have to swear a regular shvua, and we're going to have to take our chances and hope that she's not murdered heter l'atzma. The Hagoris Maimonius brings over there and says that instead you could do, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, a neder al das rabbin. The Gemara is going to discuss that point, but whether that actually works or not. But we're going to say that so if she's married, so the question is why not the mefer labal? Apparently the reason is because her husband could be mefer for her, as we learned in the sect in the Nedarim. The problem is kilo nisus nami. So kilo nisus nami. So even if she's not yet married, how does it help? Looking into the mefer labal, she's gonna get married after that, and then her husband will be able to be mefer for her. So then she'll say it. So she's gotten away with it. And the answer is no. As we learned in Nedarim, ein abal mefer b'koydim. The husband cannot be mefer for Nedarim that took place before he married her. Unlike we said. We learned over there with an arusa does work, an arusa who's a ktana or a naira. We said that her husband and her father jointly can be made for her nedarim, and there it even works for koydmin, that she can even be nedarim that took place before he was ever ma'ariser. But with a regular husband and a wife who's above the age of naira, it doesn't work anymore, and the husband can only be made for nedarim that took place while they were married. So therefore, there's no concern that he's going to be made for. Tosfos has a whole discussion over here of why we don't have other, why the Gemara didn't bring up other possibilities. For example, you could have a compound neder. You could say something like that: make her take a neder. She won't eat this loaf of bread if she ever had hana from if she's going to have hana from her husband, then she'll eat the bread right in front of us, and therefore then already it's a done deal. Then the nether gets triggered. Then Tosfos says, okay, but the fact is it's not the direct nether, it's more of an indirect thing. She's not going to consider it as serious. Why don't we do Adas Rabim? So Tosfos says actually that the Gemara is going to say soon, is going to talk about Adas Rabim, but at this point, Rav Huna is holding that there's no difference between a neder al das rabim or not, since she's not using her own das, since the whole validity of the neder depends on whether the husband agrees with it or not, then therefore, even though usually we say neder al das rabim, you can't be mater, but here actually the husband would be able to be made for it. So that's how Tosfos learns Rav Huna. So further on, and we're going to say that a neder al das rabim ein lo hafara. So that would be according to our Meimar. Rav Huna would disagree with that. On the other hand, there were other Rishonim who say, again, Hagos Maimonius brings on the Rambam that you could have her do al das rabim. That would be an alternate method because he learns that Rav Huna does not disagree with that concept. Okay. So the Gemara asks, fine, let's say the husband can't be made for to her because the neder took place before they got married. But wouldn't it be possible that she goes to a chacham and he'll be matzu neder to her? So then again, she's gotten away with it. Why aren't we concerned about that? And the answer is, kasava, because Rav Huna holds sorech lefaret as a neder. When you're coming to be matir neder, you have to specify, you have to say out clearly what the neder was. So in other words, you can't just go to a rug or a basin of three, whatever, and say I made a neder and I regret it and I want to be matir neder. You actually have to tell them what the neder is and then how it came about. So now when she gives him all the details, he's going to realize what happened, that she made the neder, that he's going to hear that she made the neder in connection with collecting the ksuba, and he's going to say, in that case, I'm not matir neder for you. So that avoids that problem. Tosfos, in fact, brings a cute story in this regard from the Yerushalmi that says that a person once comes to one of the Chachamim, Rabun, who's called in the Bavli, he's called Rab Avun, and the Yerushalmi is called Rabun. Anyway, he wants to be Matur Neder, so, what was the Neder? So the guy says, I made a Neder, I'm not going to earn money. Rabun says, what kind of a Neder is that? Who makes a Neder like that? So the guy says, well, let me explain. I meant I'm not going to earn money by gambling. Ah, Rabun says, Baruch Hashem, that he gave the Chachamim and then told them, Sodach Lifire to Neder. If you hadn't given me that detail, I would have thought to be Matir Neder for you. But now that you told me that you mean you're not going to earn money from gambling, no, I'm not being Matir that Neder for you. So we see that you have to specify the Neder. We say, Nataras Nadarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We say the Loshen Vehinim Etzada Dinam Scharet and Rakesh Nerat Sorach Lefri and Nender Achduna Abosi Tiravim Hem Vyefshul Approach. I mean, we say that I'm only asking for Ataras Nadarim for one that you're able to be Matir. But in an ordinary case, you do actually have to specify what the details of the Neder was. So therefore, the Chacham not going to be Matir. Okay. So that's the coin to Rav Huna then. So in short, the coin to Rav Huna, it only works until she's married. After she's married, you can't use the neder method anymore. Then you have what the Rambam says, that you'd have to go back to the shul method. Rav Nachman says, no, I feel the nisus. It works even if she's already married, we can still use the neder method. Well, I said, what do you mean? Nisus vade mefer l'bal. Well, then the husband surely is going to be mefer to her. So then what have we accomplished? She's going to come to Beis Din and say, they're going to make her take a nether, then she's going to collect a ksuba, and then she's going to go over to her husband and have her husband be made for the nether, and she's gotten away with it. The answer is, Rav Nachman says, d'madrinim lo berabim. We would have her take the nether in front of the public, in front of 10 people, and he holds that in that case you can't be made for such a nether. So in other words, the machlokas would basically be when Rav Huna and Rav Nosson are arguing, the essential machlokas between them is whether you can take a neder barabim and then you can be made for it or not. So Rav Huna says you still could, therefore we can't do it once she's married. Rav Nachman would say that you can't be made for it anyway. And then he says that, the same thing also, there's also the consideration. Rav Nachman does not hold of what we just said. Sorach l'far is a neder, so therefore, whereas Rav Huna does hold of that. So the Gemara says Mesli. I have a contradiction on Rav Huna. A brisa says Nisis, even once she's married, Goyvak Subasra im Nodra. She can collect her ksuba if she made the neder. So my love Nodra Hashta doesn't it mean where she makes the neder now. When we come to Beis Din, they make her take the nether, and the bride says, saying, even though she's married, you can do that. That contradicts Rav Huna. The answer is, Lord, the Nadra Me'ikra. No, what we mean is it means that she had made the nether before she got married, and now, even after she's married, she's able to collect her ksuba on the basis of that, because again, Ein Abal made for Bekoidman. There's no concern that the husband can be made for the nether, because he can't. So therefore, then we're good. Then we've covered all our bases. And again, Rav Huna would say that if she comes to the Chacham, Sarach Lafaret as a nether, she's going to have to specify the details of the nether, and then the Chacham will realize, like in the story with Rav Huna, and not be matter. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, but we have another braisa that says, Nisis Nederes V'goyvok Subasa. Another braisa says it more clearly. Doesn't say like the previous braisa, Im Nodra, if she made a neder, where there we can understand it means that she had previously made a neder. Here you have a braisa that says, Nisis, if she got married, Nederes, she makes a neder, which implies now, V'goyvok Subasa, and then she collects Uksuba. So doesn't that contradict Rav Huna? The answer is Tanoim. You're right, it's a machloikas Tanoim. The Ikalamanda Oma Neder Shahuda Barabim Yeshlay Afara, the Ikalamanda Oma Emoy Afara, there are different Tanoim who hold, one Tana holds that if you make a Neder Barabim in front of 10 people, then you still could be made for it afterwards. So therefore, you have the problem. So Rav Huna would hold like that and say, therefore, you can't make her take a Neder after she's married because her husband only made for the Ikalamanda Oma Emoy Afara. But then there's another opinion that says that once you did it Barabim, then you can't be made for it. Rashi points out, we're going to have this later on in the parak. We're going to have in connection with a din later on in the parak, we're going to have this machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim talking about a case of Motzi Shemran and divorcing his wife, etc. So Rabbi Yehuda uses the expression over there of a distinction between a neder that yodu boi rabim or not, where the rabim know about it. In other words, it was done in their presence. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a neder barabim emay afara. So the second braisa holds like that, and therefore says we don't even need to have that she's not married yet. Even if she's already married, she can take a neder barabim, and there won't be a way to be mefer. Rav Huna, meanwhile, holds like the Chachamim. They say even such a neder, you could be mefer. Therefore, that's not going to work, and therefore he says it can't work once she's married. So now the Gemara says Yibolu. So now we have a further question. So let's discuss that point more. Tzorech l'fayr pesa neder, or ain't it tzorech? When you go to be matur neder, do you have to specify all the details, how it is that the neder came about, or ain't it tzorech? Or do you not need to say, is it enough to just say, for example, I made a neder to Aser such and such on myself, and that would be enough? Again, like in the story of Rabun, where the guy is saying, I made a neder not to earn money, and then maybe that would be good enough, and the Chacham could be matur on that basis. So, Rav Nachman Omar Ein Tzarech, Rav Papa Omar Tzarech. Rav Nachman says you don't need to specify, and that fits with his shitta before that says, that therefore, instead of worrying about whether the Chacham is going to be matter it, just have him take the neder barabim, and then she can't, then we can't be made for it. Rav Papa, Amar Tzarech, Rav Papa says you do have to specify all the details. Rav Nachman, Amar Ein Tzarech, D'i Amar Tzarech, because Rav Nachman says you have to say that you don't have to specify everything. Otherwise, if you say that you have to specify everything, and without that, Ba'atzaris and Dorim is not going to work. Zimni the guy is lay the diguri. He might cut off his speech. In other words, he might not say the whole story to the Chacham, and he's going to think that the neder was actually mutter, and he's going to be over on it. So therefore, better to not make it to begin with that he should that he shouldn't have to specify everything, and then the Chacham can be matter him, and therefore I skipped the line. Zimni the guy is later diburi. He might cut off what he says. He might not say the whole thing. The Chacham may the Shama maker. The Chacham himself may not realize that he may think that this is the entire nether. He may think that there's no further details that have to be specified. And then he's going to be matter neder. So now the guy is going to think that the neder is in fact mutter, and therefore to avoid that problem, better that we shouldn't have that we're matter the neder without let the Chacham to begin with tell him, I can't be matter the neder unless you give me all of the details of how you made that neder. So that's Rav Nachman's svara. On the other hand, Rav Papa says the fact is there might be a situation of Isser. There might be, let's say, a person made a neder to help himself avoid doing a certain Avera. Imagine, for example, Rashi says he says that all the payers in the world should be also to me if I do such and such an Avera. Now he wants to be mocked to the neder, and he wants to do the Avera. And you can't have that. Therefore, better the Chacham shouldn't be mocked to him, says Rav Papa, unless you give all the details. So the Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look in a Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. A Mishnah in Bechora says, Hanoisin Noshin Ba'avera, if a Kohen has married a woman who he's not allowed to, and in fact, Tosef says, the Gemara could have just as well used our Mishnah as a proof against Rav Huna, against Rav Nachman rather. But anyway, the Mishnah in Bechora says that if a Kohen has married a woman who he's not allowed to marry, a Grusha or what have you, he's possible to do the avoda in the Bismikdash, ad she yidur hana, until he makes a neder not to have hana from her, meaning that he's going to divorce her. V'toni Allah, and we learn in a braisa in connection with that Mishnah, no devoivet yorid magarish. Fine, what he does at that point, he makes a neder, then he can go do the avoda, and then yorid magarish, and then he can go down and divorce her. Meaning, so you can, at that point, we'll allow him to do the avoda, even though he hasn't actually divorced her yet, because we know that he will fulfill his neder. Well, the Yamat ain't a tzorech l'fayr pesa neder. Now, if Rav Nachman is telling us you don't have to specify the details of what's behind the neder, so how does that work? Leichus, shouldn't he be concerned? Dilma also legabi chacham v'shorilei, that he might go to a chacham, and the chacham will be matur neder. So doesn't that show that you have to specify the details behind the neder? So now when he specifies, then the Chacham is going to find out the whole story, and he's going to say, oh, well, then I'm not going to matur neder you to have anah from your wife when you're married to her b'isser. Doesn't that Mishnah disprove Rav Nachman? By the way, the Ran points out, now Tosfos says that the Gemara could have just as well used on Mishnah. The Ran says, no, there's a difference. In our Mishnah, it's more common that a woman makes a neder to collect uksuva, and therefore the Chacham are going to start checking in. The Chacham is going to start checking into the details and find out what the reason behind this neder was and not be matter. Whereas the case of the Kohen married to a Grusha is a much less common case, and the Chacham may not realize. The answer is, the Gemara says, Demadrunin le-Berabim. Again, the answer is with the Kohen. We make him take the neder, Berabim, in front of 10 people. So the Gemara asks, "Nichal manda Omar a neder shahuda barabim ein leafara." Fine, that works out according to the opinion that we said before that you can't be made for such a neder. We said the opinion of the Chachamim. Elo manda Omar yesh leafara, but according to Rabbi Yehuda that you could, or the other way around, that works according to Rabbi Yehuda that a neder shahuda barabim you can't be made for. But what about according to the Chachamim who said you can still be made for or matu such a neder anyway? Ma'ikal meimer. Then what are you going to say? How does that help? The fact is, you might take the neder, go to a chacham, and go do the avodah, then go to the chacham and be matu neder, and it'll still be effective. The answer is, we don't make him swear just in front of 10 people. We tell him, the Beis Din says, we're making you swear not to make a neder, rather, not to have a nah from your wife, on the das of the rabbi, meaning on the das of Beis Din. That's we have the Lashon, for example, al das ha-mokim v'al das ha-kohol, and then and similarly in other cases, in general, when they swear people in Beis Din, they usually do that. They say, we're not doing it on your das, we're doing it al das tein v'al das Beis Din. Anyway, so that works. Then you can't be matur it without permission from the rabbi. Because then he's making it depend on their das, and unless they agree, he can't be matur it. The Omer Amnema, where in fact Amnema says, Bilchza, the halacha is, even according to the Chachamim that we said from the Mishnah later on in our Pera, where they say that a neder that was done in public, you can be made for or matir, al das rabim, and leafara, but if it was done al das rabim, then there's no hafara for it. So therefore you do that. Tosfos says earlier that maybe Rav Huna disagrees with that, and therefore Rav Huna says even that wouldn't work, and therefore there's no way to make her take the neder once she's married, but Amnema holds this way. And then the halacha is like that. However, the Gemara says, V'hani milu l'dvar ha-reshus. Now that only applies when we're talking about a neder regarding something optional, regarding something that he wants to be matur the neder in order to do something that's not a mitzvah. Aval l'dvar mitzvah, when it comes to that you do your, he wants to be matur neder in order to enable him to do a mitzvah, then even a neder al das rabim, yesh le'hafara, then there is hafara for it, because we can assume the rabbin would want him to do the mitzvah. As we have the example, there was an example of a Malamed, the Adre Rav Acha. Rav Acha made him take a neder to stop teaching, to have a posha b'yinuki, because he was being careless, where he was being too severe with the children. Rashi says he was beating them too much. Elsewhere in that Gemara in Bechoras, Rashi says that sometimes even they were dying from it. So therefore, instead of Acha made him swear and made him take a neder al das rabim not to teach anymore, v'ahadre Ravina, but Ravina reinstated him as a teacher, was matir neder, and reinstated him, delay shtakas, the dayach kabasei, because they couldn't find any other teacher who was as precise and careful in teaching the children correctly as him, and therefore it was considered a mitzvah the rabim for him to teach. The pashtus, I guess after that, they probably had somebody watching him to make sure he doesn't beat them too much, but the point is at least they were able to be matu that neder, even though it was on das rabbin, because the rabbin themselves would want the mitzvah to be accomplished, that the children should be taught and in the best possible way.